Fortunity Press presents Look, Mom, I Can Fly. Notes from the Wide Skies of Grieving My Only Child. Read by the author with Devin Dumas. Dedication. This book is dedicated to my brave, rainbow-hearted wife, Amy. She's been steadfast and compassionate through these past 4 years of heartache and transformation. She trusts my emotional process and champions the creativity pouring out of me. She holds me tight and lifts me up when everything around me falters and quakes. Every moment we have together is a blessing and a gift. Suddenly, he was gone. The weeping and wailing were volcanic, lava running, burning me to the point I thought I might bleed again, though I'd not had a period for over 5 years. I'd held a piece of my son, Hunter, in the fiery red sanctuary of my body, as a mother does, knowing that he was made from mystery. And now, my body, this strong, sweet vessel with roadways of veins and arteries and nerves, had to go on. My heart was still beating when his was not. I fought for motherhood for 10 long years, always knowing it would eventually come, but when? When? 2 months after my 40th birthday, on a spring day when dogwood petals carpeted the sidewalks pink and the fragrance of Daphne floated into the bedroom window, my body, now distorted by a boy so large and active he could knock me off balance with one kick, opened. My body opened like all the bodies of all the women who came before me, opened and blossomed and flowed and contracted and knew exactly what to do. This body held me while it held my boy. This body showed me how to sing out in guttural tones that ease the pain of muscles moving bones, of muscles coaxing ligaments to open. Open, open, so that this magic child could make his way through the canal, that portal of light, into a world full of wonder and ready arms. My body did not let me down. When it was time, my body, strong and tired and aching with anticipation, merged with all the mothers before me and pushed with an Amazonian force I did not know I possessed. I birthed the universe when my boy emerged, nose bent like a prize fighter, perfect and healthy, floating in the water of the birthing tub, caught by the small hands of his other mother. At first, I carried him everywhere, heart to heart, naked to my breast, my skin regulating his. Gradually, in the way glaciers melt during warm summer months, we learned the choreography of letting go. I held his hand. I let him go. I soothed his aches. I let him go. Each of us learned to stand and walk and run together and apart. Every day, my body and I would practice letting go and being present, letting go with open arms, letting go so he could fly with his own wings. When Hunter died, I collapsed in disbelief. How could all those years of praying for a child, all those years of raising a boy whose kindness never failed, a boy surrounded by a tribe of loving women, how could he be gone, lulled to sleep by a miscalculation of medications? How could he be given only one puny chance when many others came back from the brink of death over and over and over again? I cried out to all the mothers from all the lands, all the mothers whose precious children died before reaching old age, who died before their mothers died, who died, who died, whose children died. I called and I called, and somehow, they answered. They wailed with me. They held my hand and stroked my head. I was not alone and had only to put bare feet on soft green grass to know this in my bones. I didn't know that all that practicing, the letting go and opening up, and arms outstretched and welcoming home and letting go and letting go and letting go. I didn't know that my body and I were practicing so that we could let him go entirely. My body and I, we didn't know. This audiobook is the record of my excruciating and transformational grief journey as it unfolded after Hunter died on August 28th, 2020. He was 21, I did not go back to these writings and add insights gleaned from a greater distance. I want to provide a picture of my grief as it unfolded, the cycles of connection and disconnection, understanding and despair, exactly as they happened. There were weeks when all I could do was sit by my son's grave and create mandalas of petals and love on the parched grass. Other times, nothing could bring me to drive that familiar road to the cemetery. Grief is as unique and universal as a fingerprint. Perhaps there is something in my unique journey that will support or inspire you on your own grief path. For over 3 decades, I've risen before the sun to write and meditate. These practices provided a vital container for my raw emotions after Hunter died. I began to write directly to him in letters as a way of processing my grief. Often, I closed my eyes and typed whatever came. Soon, poems emerged, fully formed, in stanzas, though I'd never before written poetry. Several times a day, I would reread my poems and letters as a confirmation that I was, indeed, still living. It seemed that often my poems were several steps ahead of me. They showed me that dropping into the underworld of sorrow was not as terrifying as I thought, and that sitting with my grief was less painful than avoiding it. I created flower altars on his grave, in my yard, on the dining room table when the weather was miserable, at the beach in Key West and Jamaica, on the rocks of Sedona. I had candles burning 24/7. Incense wafted delicately, reminding me to stay present. Each time I received a beautiful painted rock or a bouquet of flowers, they would end up in my mandalas. The ritual of creating and recreating these living altars was nourishing. I couldn't do anything about the loss of my child, but I could honor him, pray to and with him, and make beauty in his name and memory. Grief is an initiation. As with all rites of passage, there are tests, obstacles, periods of darkness and uncertainty. Parts of the self must wither and die to be reborn. Birth is also an initiation. There's preparation, gathering supplies, anticipation, guidance, and teaching. Yet when it comes down to pushing that baby into the world, it feels like mother and child are merged in the agony and ecstasy, and that both are essential ingredients in transformation. Death also forces those who remain to face themselves, to reckon with who they are in the aftermath of loss. Many of us have learned to turn away from our grief, to hide our pain because it makes everyone uncomfortable. I've discovered that there is another way, a way that requires leaning in rather than avoiding. It requires courage and a willingness to grow stretch marks on your heart. I read a book to Hunter when he was young called Bravery Soup. The main character, a raccoon named Colin, is afraid of everything, including his own shadow. He meets Big Bear, the bravest of all the animals, and learns there is a way to get courage, but it requires a perilous journey to retrieve it. He must cross a treacherous river, make his way through a forbidden forest, and face a ferocious monster. The only thing that keeps him going is his conviction that Big Bear knows what he's talking about. When he returns triumphant with the little box he recovered for the monster's lair, the bear invites him to open it so that the ingredient can be added to the pot of bravery soup. Colin's devastated to discover that the box is empty, and he starts to cry. Big Bear wraps his arms around him and says, "Ah, but you see, the ingredient we needed is now inside of you." This is the journey I've walked since Hunter died. I've written my way over the raging rivers of grief. I've crafted mandalas from dying flowers. I painted and sang and traveled. I traversed forbidden forests filled with monsters of grief and guilt and shame. Through all of this, I'm discovering who I am meant to be now, in this new world without my son. I have what I need, bravery and love, inside. I have only to reach out my hand to you. Grief was never meant to be carried alone.
I can feel you in the morning sun. I can see you in the sky above. I can hear you in the gentle breeze. You are always in always with me. Thank you. can feel you in the morning sun. I can see you in the sky above. I can hear you in the gentle breeze. You are always in always with me. You are always in always with me. Never a moment that you are far from my heart. You're always in always with me. I can feel in the morning sun, I can see you in the sky above. I can hear you in the gentle breeze. You are always in all.